Maura Finn, regular GP,
wow.
Follow that.
I can't.
But you've been with some other very inspiring people.
Absolutely.
You were down at the BT Young Scientist exhibition.
I had such fun yesterday. It was fabulous. Yeah.
Looking for ideas, I suppose, or things that would relate in some way to the medical and health sectors.
Yes. So I'll start with the ones that were kind of more techie based, and there were some of them incredible, really inspiring. The first one I will talk about is a guy called Robert Brennan from Westmead, and he had this, I think, really smart idea where you would attach an AED, which is a defibrillator, to drones. So that
an emergency response drone.
Exactly. So you call the emergency response. They'll try and kind of use GPS coordinates and send the AED to the mm-hmm. location, as opposed to, you know, these are the little green boxes around
yes.
the country, and they're fabulous. And there's a lot of them around the country, and a lot of them are kind of sourced by private community centres
yes.
and stuff. But instead of having to go and get the AED, the drone brings it to you. So it's a really, really smart idea.
Okay, and what sort of cost might be there?
Well, Robert says that he has costed it, and there, about 3,000 of them would cover the entire country, and he estimates about 18,000 to cover the country. Again, now these would have to be probably placed on the roofs of community centres in different areas, but it's a really smart
Very
idea.
Very interesting. Yeah. Now, there's another one about making first aid compulsory.
Yeah, this was interesting. This is by Presentation School in Mitchellstown, and they did a study of their own students. And about 58% of them had done a first aid course at some stage through maybe TY in the school or the Scouts or some other organisation. But they found that really they didn't have a lot of confidence unless it was repeated exposure. So what they had suggested that they felt that most of the students were in favour of it being compulsory, but also that it would happen on a yearly basis, so that the repeated exposure made people more confident
okay,
in
some
the use
continuous,
of first aid.
Continuous training.
Exactly.
Now, tell me about this enhanced digital stethoscope.
This is fabulous. This is Oisin O'Sullivan, a very competent boy who has basically put a mic and an amplifier onto a stethoscope. Bog standard stethoscope. His prototype, he said, cost about €20. So basically, you can record the sounds that are being heard in the stethoscope, and then they can be sent. So in the field, so for remote, if somebody has a paramedic in the field and there's somebody with a very unusual sound in the heart, mm-hmm. a different murmur, different rhythm, that can be sent into a cardiologist in the hospital site. It can also be recorded for future reference.
And you're presumably working with a smartphone here as well,
absolutely,
are you?
Everything, actually, I should say that everything here works with apps and smartphones.
Yeah.
Like, it's very different to a few years ago. But basically, it's very good from the point of view of auditing a bad outcome as well, you know, to kind of look back and see.
Yeah.
And it takes away the clinical subjectiveness of somebody saying, well, I listened to that and I said it was a murmur, and I'm, you know, so it takes all that away from it. Very, very clever idea.
You met some students from Cork who are looking at the developing world.
Yeah, no, this was brilliant. This is, I hope I get the names right, Shifa, Avril and Paddy from Cork, and they had a solar powered dry heat sterilizer, and they tell me it's the first of its type in the world. And there are solar powered sterilizers of different sorts, but this is, the science behind this was really extraordinary. They really put a huge amount of work into it. They are achieving heats of over 160 degrees centigrade, which is what you need to sterilise for a sustained period of time. The solar power is obviously renewable and mm-hmm. available at all times. And it's quite, the costs were hard to figure out, but they did say they had interest from, they had spoken to people within the HSC, but actually WHO really need to follow up on this. This could actually be a game changer.
These sound like amazing
oh,
ideas
I think it's
and such creativity. I mean,
yeah.
you've talked about four potential winners already.
I think
we've a lot
so,
more
yeah.
to get through. Now, there was another one, an idea for visually impaired people. Solomon Doyle, the student there.
Yeah, Solomon had this, and he came up with this acronym NOVA, N-O-V-A. So basically it was two technologies mixed together. One is a smart cane. This is a white cane for blind people or visually impaired people. Now, apparently there are smart canes already, but he has kind of modified this. And mm-hmm. there's an ultrasonic device on it so that as you approach an obstacle, it warns you. So you get a feel, a kind of a buzz in the hand as well as hitting the obstacle. And he's paired this with another app, obviously, a GPS geo navigation system. So again, you're walking in an area, if you're coming towards an obstacle or turning to a particular place, it warns you audibly to turn mm-hmm. right or left as well. So the two together are actually a very, very smart system.
Right. Now, to counter that, headphones are not recommended for some other groups.
No, there was a lovely group of lads from Listowel Varna who had done a very interesting study on headphones and different types of headphones. So they had said that sustained noise levels over 85 decibels are known to, if it's sustained, it does damage your hearing. And they found that in most, they try different types of music, but I don't think that mattered. But most people, when they're listening to their headphones, they're over 90 decibels at least.
Yeah, and earpods are the worst offenders of all,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, because of the suction, because they stick into the ear, and the suction means that the sound waves are really channeled, whereas the cans like you're wearing right now are actually safer because they're actually is a bit of leakage from those.
And a warning too to people using headphones while driving?
Yeah, this was very interesting. This guy, Brendan Conroy, had basically he'd noticed that people, when they were reversing into car park spaces, they often turned down the level of the noise around them. And he did a few tests with hazard perception tests. So people concentrating with headphones on and then with background noise. And he found that people with headphones did not concentrate as well as people who had just had background noise. Very interesting from a driving point of view.
Now tell me about the girls in the John Deere overalls.
These girls were great. These girls are from Kildysert, and they have done, like, farm safety is so important, and tragically people die every year. And basically it's safety around a slurry pit, and a very simple idea. They have infrared motion sensors around a slurry pit, and if the beam is broken, they have an emergency response, so that the beam sends a message to the allocated people's phones, an emergency response. And it's very simple, but maybe a lifesaver.
Now, there's health and well-being, a fair smattering of projects there. There usually are, I should say. Regular exercise increases mental well-being and concentration levels.
Yeah, it's something that we might be also kind of think that we know, but the St. Brogan's College in Cork, they proved it by getting their students to do a thing called chair aerobics, which I love the idea of. So they had their students do, a few minutes of chair aerobics. So on the, you know, moving their legs, mm-hmm. moving their arms before class. And they did concentration tests, cognitive tests, memory tests before and afterwards. And they proved that the concentration levels improved. So,
and something else, I suppose, this won't be news to dog owners, that they're fitter than other people.
I love this, yeah. Well, no, that's the dog owners who walk their dogs, obviously. But they did say they're fitter than other people. And also, they're probably the only people surveyed that will exercise more than 6 times a week. So these are the dogs that need a daily exercise. So it's actually interesting and kind of another reason to have a lovely dog.
I think as a GP, you would have been paying close attention as well to other healthcare matters. There was a how to improve the A&E experience with a simple queuing system.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. Is some lads from Longford, the Mercy in Longford, they had basically they had spoken to a lot of health professionals about trying to work out this system, and it was based on the patient attends the GP. The GP then rings A&E and creates an appointment for the patient. The patient then waits until their appointment time to attend A&E. And they also have an online backup system. So if there is emergencies coming into A&E, the patient knows that their appointment will be delayed and will be given a new time. Now, this depends on the patient attending the GP, which is what should happen and does happen in most situations. But in some of our bigger cities, people bypass GP and go straight to A&E. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting about this, it is encouraging people to use the system properly and go to GP first. But it does mean there's the buy-in from the A&E system. It's a good idea. It was an interesting idea. It may be difficult to work. And there are other forms of this already in practice.
And a quick word about one that's really close to your own heart. Satisfaction for GPs north and south of the border, the NHS versus the HSE.
These are girls from Donegal, and they were surprised at the results. I wasn't totally surprised, but apparently the GPs in the north are much happier than us.
Okay, so, well, look, we won't go into the reasons why, but we can guess them, as indeed can our listeners. Maura Finn, thank you so much indeed for coming to studio.